Today's daf is daf Chaf Dalid, and we'll begin with the words Vahai Bekodesh, which is five lines down from the top. Just to remind you that in the previous Gemara on daf Chaf Gimel Amid Beis, we quoted Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and he did not accept the principle neither of Chizkiah, that when it says lo ye achel, it includes an Isur Hanon, nor of Rabbi Avo, that whenever the Torah says achila, it prohibits even Hanon. So he needs a source for the Isur Hanon, which we're going to apply to both Chametz and Shor Niskal. Theoretically, it would apply to every Isur, but in every case, there's a special Yalfusa, Lachem, Shalachem Tia, but we're left with Chametz and Shor Niskal. So where does Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi derive this halacha of Isurei Hanah from? And the Gemara quoted a pasuk in Vayikra Perek Vav, which is a pasuk that refers to chatos chitzonios. And the Torah says, V'chol chatos asher yuva midoma el ol moed l'chapra kodesh lo se'ochel ba'esh tisarev. And the Gemara says that we have a different limud for sreifa in the case of a chatos chitzona that was brought inside into the heichal, and therefore the pasuk ba'esh tisarev is not necessary for itself for the case of a chatos chitzona. So we apply the principle, which is one of the midot shatorin adreshes b'hem v'im eino inyan legufo tneu le'inyan adover acher. And now we're going to derive from this word Tisarev, by H. Tisarev, that all Isurim Shabbat Torah are to be consumed by fire, means that you're not allowed to benefit from them at all. The Gemara says now the following. Vahai ba kodesh by H. Tisarev lahochi hudi asa. Are you actually telling me that this pasuk of ba kodesh ba H. Tisarev, which is a pasuk that we derived from Chatas Chitzona, is going to teach me that all Isuri Achila, for example, Chametz or Shor Niskal, is Osir Bahana, because the Torah requires Sreifa, which implies an Isur Hana. Hai mi boile lichid Rabbi Shimon. We need it for the derivation of Rabbi Shimon. Desanya, Rabbi Shimon Omer. Again, back to our pasuk in Vayikra, Perek Vav, and the Torah there says, "Kol chatos asher yuva midama, etc., etc. Ba'esh, ba'kodesh ba'esh tisarev." Limed, it's coming to teach me, says Rabbi Shimon, "Al chatos, that if a korban chatos becomes psula, shesorfin also ba'kodesh, that we have to burn the kodesh in the Azara, which there was a certain base Hadeshen in the Azara, and that's where they burned Kodshim Shenifsalu. V'ainli el azu bilvad, I only know that this applies to Chatos. How do I know that it applies to all Kodshim? And the answer is, P'sule Kodshe Kodshim, ve'imuri Kodshim Kalim, minayin tamid lomar, ve'chol Chatos, ba'kodesh ba'esh tisarif. The extra word v'chol is going to universalize this halacha. The Torah explicitly only addresses the case of a chatos, that if a chatos becomes disqualified, it's psula, you have to burn it in the Beis Hadesh and in the Azara. How do I know to extrapolate and apply this principle to all kodshim that became psulim? For example, kodshim refers to Ola, Asham, Mincha. Let's say they became Tomei. Well, let's say the dam of the Karban was spilled, Nishbach, and therefore the Karban became Pasul. Or, Emure Kodshim Kalam. Kodshim Kalam are Shlomim and things that are very similar to Shlomim. In all those cases, the Emurim have to be burnt on the Esh on the Mizbeach. And what happens if the Emurim contract Tuma, for example? How do I know that we have to burn such kodshe kodshim or kodshim kalim shenitmu in the Azara in the Kodesh. And that I'm going to derive from the Pasuk, V'chol chatos ba'kodesh ba'esh tisarif. The extra word V'chol is going to teach me that it's not just the din in chatos chitzona that was taken inside, but all psulei kodshim, meaning kodshei zevach, have to be burnt inside the azara. So that the mokum haktara, the mokum of achila for kodshim, is the azara. And that's exactly where the sreifa has to take place in event that the kodshim became tmeim, became psulim. So how does Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi then have what's called an imeno inyan legufo in this parasha of Chatas Chitzona, tnei le'inyan l'kol yisurim shabbat Torah, to teach me that they're all asur v'anah? I need this pasuk legufo to teach me that all kodshim psulim require sreifa in the azara. And this was the kasha that was asked by Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni. And this kasha of Rav Shmuel was presented by a certain chacham, and we don't know who the chacham is, he's anonymous. And when the chacham heard this kasha of Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni, how could we derive from the parsha of Chatos Chitzona that Chametz and Sharniskal are Asmana, when I need the pasuk by Chatos with the extra word V'chol Chatos to teach me that Bakodesh Ba'esh Tisarev, that any Kodshim that became Tomei or other Psuim have to be burnt in the Kodesh? Amalei, that Chacham who heard this question of Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni responded by quoting his Rebbe, Rabbi Nosson, Rabach, Mehai Kra Ka'amarle. Now the Gemara is going to quote a different pasuk as a source for Chametz B'Pesach and Shor Niskal being Asurim Ba'na, not the drasha of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi from the parasha of Chatas Chitzona, but rather from the parasha of Nosar. Now the parasha of Nosar is at the end of Sefer Shmos, so we'll try to keep a calculation here in our head that we started with Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's drasha from a pasuk in Vayikra Perek Zion with regard to a chatas chitzona that was brought inside the heichal. Now we're quoting the parasha of Nosar, which appears of all places at the end of Sefer Shmos. Why is it at the end of Sefer Shmos? Because in Perek Chav Tes, in Sefer Shmos, the Torah addresses the Shivas Yimei Amiluim. And during those 7 days of Miluim, when the Kohanim and the Bnei Aaron were preparing to begin with the Hakomas HaMishka Der Avoda, they brought what's called an Ayel Lishlomim. And there the pasuk says, "Ve'imi vaser mipsar miluim and alechem ad boker." If anything is left over from the b'sar hamiluim, meaning the el hashlamim, the ayal that was brought during the shivas yimei miluim, and then the pasuk says, which is not printed in the Gemara, "V'sarafta es hanoser be'esh." If it was left over beyond the time of achila, the allotted time for eating, the Torah says, "Whatever nosar has to be burnt." And then the Torah says, Lo ye ochel ki kodeshu. And the question is, why did the Torah have to add v'lo ye ochel when it already said at the beginning of the pasuk, v'saraftas hanosar ba'esh? The very fact that the Torah requires sreifas nosar indicates that you're not allowed to eat the nosar. Otherwise, if you were allowed to eat it, the Torah would not require you to burn it. So, she'ein tamid lomar, lo ye ochel. I don't need the pasuk in Nosar to say lo ye ochel. I could have derived it from ba'esh tisarev. The saraftas and Nosar ba'esh. Uma talmud loma lo ye ochel. And again, since we have an extra pasuk and we don't need it in its place, we're going to lift it like a crane and put it down elsewhere. That's called im eno inyan. Im eno inyan legufe. I don't need the pasuk to formulate the Iser Achila in Nosar, the Haksiv, the Saraftas and Nosar Ba'esh, at the beginning of this very same Pasuk, which enjoins you from eating Nosar, the Torah requires you to burn the Nosar. And that would only make sense if there's an Isra'chilo. So I don't need lo ye ochel in the parsha of Nosar in its place. It's not telling me anything in its place. Therefore, tneu inyan l'shari suri v'torah. We're going to take this lo ye ochel, and it's going to teach us that other isurim that have lo ye ochel, like, for example, chametz b'pesach or shar niskal, where the Torah joins us from achila. And the question is, wait a minute, I don't need the pasuk of lo ye ochel and nosar to plug it into chametz and shar niskal, because in both those parashas the Torah already says that you're not allowed to eat chametz or shar niskal. And eino inyan l'achila, once again, I cannot simply use lo ye ochel from borrowing it, so to speak, or lifting it up from the parsha of Nosar and placing it down in Shari Suri Achila, because other Isuri Achila already the Torah specified that you're not allowed to eat them. It's therefore Tnei L'inyan Isuri Hano. We can only possibly make sense out of this extra superfluous Lo Ye Ochel in the parasha of Nosar by teaching us Isuri Hano. And just like you're not allowed to have Hano from Nosar, and this I know from the fact that the Torah requires you to burn Nosar. If you would be allowed to use it for your purposes and benefit from it, the Torah would not require you to burn it. So too, in other Isuri Achila, we're going to apply this principle of Ba'esh Tisarev. Malahalan B'Sreifa, Af Kol Isurim Shabbat Torah B'Sreifa. Now, the Gemara is raising the following objection. How far are you going to go in this Yalfusa, this Binyan Av, of the Imeno Inyan from Lo Ye Ochel in the parasha of Nosar to other Isurei Achila? If you're going to go all the way and the equation is 100%, then you should derive the conclusion that you have to burn any Isurei Hanoah. We don't know that all Isurei Hanoah have to be burnt. In the case of Chametz, it could be that the Torah has a special mitzvah of Bir Chametz. Rabbi Yehuda holds a Bir Chametz or Sreifa. Chacham say Ash B'Sasim B'Chol Dovar. Certainly in Shara Niska, we don't require Sreifa. So Gemara answers, Amar Kra V'Sarafta Es HaNosar. In that very Pasuk, which discusses Nosar, and the ratio of the Pasuk says, Imi Vaser Mibsar Miluim. So we know we're talking about Nosar, and then the Torah repeats itself and adds the word nosar a second time. V'sarafta es hanosar ba'esh. The word hanosar is redundant. It could have just said v'sarafta ba'esh. And we know from the beginning of the pasuk, what are we burning in the fire? We're burning nosar. It says nosar. So why did the Torah again have to repeat the word hanosar? And the answer is that's a miut to tell you nosar b'sreifa v'ein kol isurim shabbat Torah b'sreifa. On the one hand, the lo ye ochel in the parasha of nosar teaches me Isurei Hanoah in Shar Isurei Torah. But on the other hand, the extra word of Hanosar, that's going to teach me a miut that only Nosar requires Sreifa, but all other Isurei Hanoah do not require Sreifa. So this was the quote of the Chacham in the name of his Rebbe, Rabbi Yonah's son, in front of Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, who had asked the Kasha, how can we derive from the parasha of Chatos Chitzona, when I need that parasha to teach me a universal halach that all kodshim, kodshi kalim, kodshi kodshim, all kodshim that were posel, that became posel, became tomei, etc., have to be burnt in the Azara. So the answer that this Chacham offered in the name of Rabbi Yonah's son is that I'm not going to learn Isurei Hanoah in Chametz B'Pesach and Shor Niskal from the parasha of Chatos Chitzona in Vayikra Zayin, but rather from the parasha of Nosar at the end of Sefer Shmos in the context of the Yemei Shivas Yemei Amilui. So on this comment of the Chacham quoting Rabbi Yonah's son, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni asks a second kasha. He had asked the kasha to shoot down the original drasha that we thought Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi had derived the Isurei Hanoah from Chatos Chitzona. Now Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni is going to ask another kasha to shoot down this limud of the Chacham in the name of Rabbi Yonah ben Rabbo from the parash of Nosar. V'hai in that posuk, lo ye ochel in Nosar, lo hachi hu diyasa, It's coming to teach you Isuri Anon, Chomitz, and Shor. Niskal Haimi Boile, Lichid Rabbi Elazar. I need the Drasha and the Parsha of Nosar for the ruling and the principle of Rabbi Elazar. The Omer Abulazar, Abulazar derives from the Parsha of Nosar, where it says, Lo Yochel Ki Kodesh Hu. Now, we have to understand that the words Ki Kodesh Hu are also superfluous. Why did the Torah say Lo Yochel Ki Kodesh Hu? In other words, normally, you're talking about something that is Kodesh, it has to be brought on the Mizbeach, but now you're talking about Nosar. And you're telling me Lo Yeochel, and now you add the words Ki Kodeshu. Those three words Ki Kodeshu are completely out of place, and therefore Rabbi Elazar derives from Ki Kodeshu Kol Sheba Kodesh Pasul Ba Kosev Liten Lo Sase Al Achiloso. We have cases of Kodshim, whether it's Kodshim Kodshim, Rashi points out, or Kodshim Kalim, and they became Pasul. For example, we have a psul called Pigul, another psul called Yotze. And in Pigul, the Kohen had the wrong machshava of Chutzus Mano, Chutzum Kovo, during one of the Avodos, or if the Dam itself was brought outside the Azara, or it was spilled on the ground, and we don't have the Dam. In all these cases where the carbon became posel, the Torah says you're not allowed to eat the basar of a carbon posel, and you violate a losase. And where is the losase that prohibits eating kodshim shenifsalu, eating the basar of kodshim shenifsalu? It's right here, says Rabbi Elazar, in the parasha of Nosar. Nosar is your archetypical paradigmic case of kodshim shenifsalu, and the Torah says lo yeachel, and adds ki kodeshu. Don't think that this is specific Yisrachil that only applies to Nosar, but pi kodeshu, it applies kol sheva kodesh pasul, is litain losas al achilasa. So lo yeachel tells me that if you eat from the basar of a kodshim shenifsalu, you violate the slav yechayev malchus, and therefore you cannot tell me, argues Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, that from the parish of Nosar v'sarafta asan Nosar, you're going to derive a conclusion about chometz bePesach and Shara Niskal that are osur v'ana. Because I need this pasuk of v'sarafta as hanosar ba'esh lo yeachel to teach me a losas and a chiv malchus for eating the basar of kodshim she nifsalu, of any carbon that became pasul. Therefore, it's not free to derive universal halachas in machalas asuros that are also not only in achila but also in arnoa. And let me add one other point here. When it says ba'esh tisare for saraftas and nosa ba'esh, that itself would not serve as a losase in order to teach me malchus. I need lo yeachel, because if I only had v'saraftas and nosar, that would only give me what's called an iser ase. You don't get malchus for an iser ase unless the Torah formulates it in a losase. You don't get malchus. So if the Torah is teaching me that when you eat the basa of kodshim shenifsalu, whatever the psul was, we mentioned pigul, we mentioned yotze, there are many other psulim, then you violate a lav and you get malchus. That lav is written in the parasha of Nosar when it says lo yeochel. It's not enough to say v'saraftas hanosar v'esh. That's only a positive formulation, but the negative formulation lo yeochel is necessary to establish a chi of malchus for violating a lav when you eat the basar, not only of Nosar, as one example of kodshim shenifsalu, but any kodshim shenifsalu. And now at this point, Amar Abaye, we're up to the moment in which we really have no source yet for deriving the Iser Hanah in Chametz and Sharaniska. Amar Abaye says, you know what? Let's go back to the original drasha of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi from the parasha of Chatas Chitzona. Let's revisit it and let's see if we could derive from that drasha the conclusion that Chometz bePesach and Shara Niskal are Osir Bano. Li Olam, in truth, despite your objections, Mikra Kama, I'm going to go back to the original pasuk, not Vayikra Zion in this case, but Vayikra Vav. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi had been quoted as interpreting that pasuk and deriving from it the derivation that we're looking for, the Isra Anah. The pasuk says in Vayikra Vav, V'chol chatas asher yuva midoma el ol moed l'chapra kodesh lo se'ochel ba'esh tisaref. The Torah says that with regard to chatas, if it was brought midoma el ol moed lo se'ochel ba'esh tisaref. But v'epuch, says Abaye, we're going to have to be mahapech the drasha and turn it a little bit around, vis-a-vis the way it was quoted originally, that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi had derived his conclusion from Ba'esh Tisarif. And now Abaye is suggesting that since we've already quoted the principle of Rabbi Lazar, and we need to derive from this pasuk Ba'esh Tisarif that Psulei Kodesh requires Sreifa, in the Azara, but what about Lo Se'achel? The words Lo Se'achel are ripe for a drasha because the licht of Ba'esh Tisarif, the Torah could have ended up with Ba'esh Tisarif, and Velo Boy Lo Se'achel, it didn't have to specify Lo Se'achel because, again, as we said over and over again, if something requires Sreifa, then we understand that it's Osir Bachil. You can't eat something, and then the Torah would say, well, you're allowed to eat it and then burn it. That doesn't make any sense. So, Ma Talmud Lomer, why did the Pasuk have to mention Lo Se'achel? And here's where we're going to apply the principle of Im Eino Inyan. Im Eino Inyan Legufo, I don't need the Torah to specify an Isra Achila in the case of Kodshim Shenifsalu, Dinafkale, because I could derive that from Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Lozor. Remember, Rabbi Lozor had quoted the parsha of Shiva Simea Miluim of Nosar at the end of Sefer Shmos, where it says, Lo Yeochel Ki Kodesh Hu. So I know that Kodshim Shenifsalu have a lav, a special lav of Achila. You're not allowed to eat Kodshim Shenifsalu by virtue of the pasuk, Lo Yeochel Ki Kodesh Hu in the parsha of Nosar. So why then, in the sixth parak of Vayikra, where it says V'chol chatos asher yuva midoma el ol moed, let's just turn back for a split second. I'm going to do this. You don't have to do this. To Chav Gimel Amid Beis, where the Gemara had quoted Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi as deriving the conclusion about Isuri Anoch, Chometz Pesach Shor Niskal from Chatos Chitzona, where it says in Vayikra Vav V'chol Chatos Asher Yuva Midoma Lo Se'achel Ba'esh Tisarev, and he had derived that Ba'esh Tisarev is Eino Inyan Legufo, is Tneu Le'inyan Shari Surei Torah. And the reason for that is, why doesn't he need the pasuk Ba'esh Tisarev? Is because in the parasha of Yemei Miluim, it says that if the chatos was brought pnima, again, that was an implication that we derived from Moshe Rabbeinu, it's sinei sorof, it has to be burnt. So therefore, the Ba'esh Tisarev in the sixth parak of Vayikra in chatos chitzona was superfluous. And the answer is that it's coming to teach me shari surei hanah, isur shabbat Torah. But then the Gemara says, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense because I need Ba'esh Tisarif to teach me that all Kodshim Shenifsalu require Sreifa B'Makom Kodesh. And that was the derivation of the Azara, that namely the Azara is specified as the place for burning Kodshim Shenifsalu. So now Abai is quoting Rabbi Lazar, and Rabbi Lazar had the Parsha of Nosar. And in the Parsha of Nosar it says, Lo Yochel Ki Kodeshu, to teach me that all Kodshim Psulim have a lav bachiloso. So therefore, when I get back to the Pasuk of Ba'esh Tisarif in Vayikra Perek Vav, which was the original pasuk quoted by Reb Shuben Levi of Kol Chatos Asher Yuva Midom El Ol Moed L'Chapa Kodesh Lo Se Ochel Ba'esh Tisarev, he said, Eino Inyu L'Gufo, because in the case of Chatos, like in the case of all Kodshim, the Torah says that it's Osir to eat them. So therefore, why do I need the extra Lo Ye Ochel Ki Kodeshu in the parasha of Chatos, Asher Yuva Midoma, etc., etc., Lo Se Ochel Ba'esh Tisarev? Is Tneu Le'inya, Inya Le'isur Hanah. No, now you're going to tell me, but wait a second. In the parash of Kol Chatas Asher Yuva Gomel Lo Se'ochel Beish Tisarif, the Torah requires Sreifa. And therefore, Ikan, just like in the case of Chatas, B'Sreifa, you need Sreifas, Af Kol Yisurim Sheva Torah, which are derived from Chatas, also should require Sreifa. So now Chometz Pesach and Sharon Iskal should require Sreifa. On Makra, the Torah says in the parasha of Nosar, V'saraftes ha-Nosar, and we said that the word ha-Nosar was extra because at the beginning of the pasuk, the Torah was talking about Nosar. So why did the Torah have to add the word ha-Nosar? And that's a miyut to tell me ha-Nosar v'sreif, only Nosar or other kodshim that became possible that are similar to Nosar require Sreifa. V'ein kol yisurim shabbat Torah v'sreifa, the other yisurim do not require Sreifa. Now we have Rav Papa's objection to Abai's drasha. Amalei Rav Papa Abai v'ema la liyichude le lav legufehu diosa. Even though it's true, I grant you that from Rabbi Elazar's drasha in the parsha of Nosar, we derive that all kodshim psulim have a lav, are enjoined by a lav to eat the kodshim psulim. And therefore you're telling me, Abai, that I don't need the posuk in Nosar. I'm sorry, I don't need the posuk in the parish of Chatos. Perhaps, li'chude le'i lav le'gufe yudiyoso. De'imi, the Rabbi Lezer, ein lokin a lav shebechlolos. Rabbi Lozar had darshined from the parsha of Nosar that there's a general all-inclusive lav of Lo Sochel that applies to all Kodshim Psulim, that you're not allowed to eat the Basar of Kodshim Psulim. And that was from the parasha of Nosar at the end of Sefer Shmos in the context of Shivas Yimei HaMiluim. But that's a lav Shebechlolos. Why is that called a lav Shebechlolos? Whenever the Torah has one lav that applies to many, many different cases, scenarios, in this case, objects, there are many different kodshim shenifsalu, and they're all included under one generic, one rubric, which is called lo ye'ochel ki kodeshu, you would not get malchus for such a case. Why? Because it's not a specific lav, it's a general lav. And that, for that, we'd have to learn Masechta the Makis. There are many rules about when you get Malkus and when you don't. One of them is that ain't lokin alav shebechlolos. But now the Torah in the parsha of Chatos went out of its way to tell you that kol Chatos etc. lo se ochel ba'esh tisarev, to give you a lav with a chiyuv Malkus in the case of Basar Chatos. If, let's say, for example, the dam of the chat of the Basar Chatos Chitzorah was taken inside into the Heichal, into the Kodesh, and there's a separate lav if you eat the Basar of that Chatos. And therefore, Rav Papa rejects the derivation of Abaye, and he has to bring another source for Chometz B'Pesach and Shor and Niskal. El Omar Rav Papa Mehacha. We're going to derive the Isur Hanah, Chametz, and Shor Niskal from Basar Kodshim Shenitmu. Now we're in the parasha of Tumah. And this is also in Vayikra Perek Zayin. We're going to have to look at Psukim Yutes and Chav. In Pasuk Yutes, in Perek Zayin, in Basar Kodshim Shenitmu, the Pasuk says, V'abasar asher yiga b'chol tomei, any Kodesh that has contact with tomei, with the Dover Amitami, lo ye ochel ba'esh yisarev. So let's emphasize the words lo ye ochel. She'ein tamo lomer lo ye ochel. I don't need the pasuk to tell me that I'm not allowed to eat the basar of kodshim shenitmu. As the Gemara is going to say in a second, where we derive that from, in my Talmud Lo, why does it have to say Lo Ye Ochel Meinu Inyi Legufo Da Nafkale? From whence do we derive that you're not allowed to eat the Basa Tomei of Kodshim? Da Nafkale Mikal V'Chomer Mimasa Sheni Akal. We're going to derive the Iser V'Achila of Basa Shenitma from Maisa Sheni, which is Kal in a Kal V'Chomer. And Memela, if I don't need the Pasuk of lo ye ochel in basa asher yiga b'chol tameh, I could use it for isurei hano in general. And what is this kal v'chomer from maaser sheni? Uma maaser sheni hakal, which vis-a-vis, if I compare it to kodesh, to kodshim, it's kal. And Omer Torah, yet the Torah says, in Parshas Kisovah, it says, Lo bi'arti v'menu b'tomei, I didn't violate the Isur of eating Maaser Sheni b'tuma, is Besar Kodesh Chamur, Lo kolshken, how much more so are you not allowed to eat the Basar of Kodesh b'tuma? So the Pasuk Lo ye'ochel, referring to Basar Kodeshim Shenitmu, in the seventh parak of Vayikra, is totally redundant, and if we're going to use it in Menu Inyan for Isurei Hanah. The Gemara now tries to reject Rav Papa, V'chitem, and if you'll tell me, I would not be able to accept your premise that Lo Ye Ochel is redundant in the case of Kodshim Shenitmu based on a Kal V'chomer for Maaser Sheni, because we have a principle of Ein Masirin Min Hadin. You can never get Malkus based on a Kal V'chomer. So even though the Torah gave us the drasha of Kal V'chomer as one of the Yud Gimel Midas HaTorah Nidreshes Bahem, but nevertheless, you would not get Malkus for that which you derive from a Kal V'chomer. You need an Azhara, an explicit Lo Taseh in the Torah. So at this point, the Gemara is rejecting the derivation regarding Kodshim from Maaser Sheni, because even though I could have derived the Iser of eating Kodshim B'tumah, but I could not derive Achiv Malkus. And the Gemara says that Keshahu, but rather I can still salvage the derivation from Maaser Sheni to Kodshim Shenitmu, but not from a Kal V'chomer, because we have a principle Ein Masir Min Adin, but rather from a Hekesh. Tichsiv, the Torah says, in Parshas Re'eh, I believe, it says, Lo sucha lechol b'sharecha. Now, when the Torah gives you a lav regarding Maaser Sheni, it mentions Maaser Degoncha, Tiroshcha, Yitzarecha, Bechoros, Bechorecha, and the rest of the pasuk, which is not printed on our folio, says Vechol Nidorecha Asher Tidor V'Nidvosecha. And Nidorecha Asher Tidor Nidvosecha is a reference to Karman Shlomim, that a person voluntarily brought a Karban Shlomim. So in the same pasuk, the Torah has both Maaser Sheni and Karban Shlomim. That gives us a Hekesh. And from that Hekesh, we're going to derive the conclusion that just like there's an Iser Lav if you eat Maaser Sheni in Tumah, so too there's an Iser Lav if you eat Basar Kodesh B'Tumah. It's therefore, again, Matam and Lomar, why does the Torah have to go out of its way in what seems to be redundant in the case of Basar Kodesh and Nitma, and say Lo Ye Ochel, Im Eino Inyan Legufo Tneu Inyan Lechol Isur Shabbat Torah, Vim Eino Inyan Linyan Achila Tneu Le Isur Hano. So that the Gemara says that a Hekesh is stronger than a Kal V'chomer. In the case of a Kal V'chomer, you could always have a Pircha, and therefore you cannot punish a person and give Malkus based on a Kal V'chomer. But a Hekesh is something that's explicit in the Torah, and therefore, when the Torah prohibits you in the case of Maaser Sheni from eating a bitumah, and in that same pasuk the Torah mentions shlomim, I shouldn't say in that same pasuk, but in another pasuk, therefore we have a hekesh, and that teaches me that you get malchus for eating basar kodshim shenitmu. The Gemara asks, "I ma kan b'sreifa afkoli subshva Torah b'sreifa amakra." In the case of Nosar, the Torah has the extra word Hanosar, Hanosa Bisrefa, V'ein Kol Yisurim Shabbat Torah Bisrefa. We're on the bottom of Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph, Omalei Ravina L'Rav Ashi. two lines up before the end of the Amud. Now, the Gemara, once again, as the pattern repeats itself, is going to object to the previous drasha. Now, in this case, the drasha of Rav Papa, his derivation. Amalei Ravina Ravashi, you're telling me that in the pasuk of Basar Kodesh, Shenitma, we have a redundant Lo Ye Achel, and that was totally unnecessary because we could have derived it from Maisa Sheni. The Ema, perhaps I could argue, Lavar Ola B'Shnei Lavin. The Torah is not saying Lo Ye Achel in a superfluous, unnecessary addition, but rather the Lo Ye Achel is giving you a second lav, in addition to the lav that you violated that was derived from Maaser Sheni with the Hekesh, that if Maaser Sheni became Tomei, so too if Shlomim became Tomei, the Torah says you're not allowed to eat it. But in addition to that, the Torah wanted to add another lav in the parasha of Basar Kodesh and Nitma, which was the source of Rav Papa from Vayikra Perek Zion, where the Torah said, "Vabosa shayiga b'chol tomei lo ye ochel." Now the Torah is adding another lav. And sometimes the Torah adds another lav in order for you to get two sets of malchus, 39 times 2, 78 malchus. And Ravina is going to prove that there is such a concept called lavar olav b'shnei lavin, that sometimes the Torah for the same Iser will pile up many lavin for many different Chiyuvei Malkus. What's the source for such a thing? Lav milo Omer Abaye. Isn't it true that Abaye said the following? And now Abaye is going to talk about number one, Putisa, number two, Nimola, and number three, Tsira. Three different kinds of creatures. And these are creatures which the Torah prohibits you, they're not kosher. And the question is, if you violate that Easter and you eat them, how many sets of Malkus do you get? So let's go through all these three cases of Abaye, one by one. Case number one, Ochal Putisa. Putisa is a non-kosher fish, and it's called Sheretz Hamayim. And Rabbi says he incurs four sets of Malkus. How so? Why four sets of Malkus? There are two losases in the Torah for shrotzim in general. And in addition, there are another two lavim for sheretz hamayim. So for example, in the case of shrotzim in general, the Torah says, I have a whole list here on the bottom, in Parsha Shmini it says, Al tishaktsus nafshel sechem, etc. And then there's another pasuk that says, "Lo titamu bahen." So we have, with regard to shrotzim in general, all creatures. We have crawling creatures. We have two lavim. Now in the parsha of Sheretz Hamayim, there are another two lavim. It says, "V'chol asher ein lo snapir v'kaskeses b'mayim," etc., etc. Sheketzu lachem lo tziyachlu. And then, that was in Parshas Shmini. In Parshas Re'e, it says, V'chol asher ein lo snapir v'kaskeses lo sochlu tomehu. We have another two lavim. So there are four lavim, and an overlap of two and two of in the case of Sheretz Hamayim, because it's not only Sheretz Hamayim, but all shrotzim. Sheretz Hamayim is also included in all shrotzim. Then he has the case of Nimola. Nimola is already a Sheretz Ha'oretz, loke chamesh. And in addition to the two general lavim that apply to all shrotzim, another three lavim specifically for Sheretz Ha'oretz. Nimola is a Sheretz Ha'oretz. It crawls on the ground, as opposed to Putisa, which swims in the water. And with regard to Sheretz Ha'oretz, I have a whole list here on the bottom, we don't have time to go through them, of all the different lavim that apply to Sheretz Ha'oretz. In Parsha Shmini, Kol Sheretz HaSheretz HaOretz Lo Ye Ochel, HaSheretz HaSheretz HaOretz Lo Sa'ochlem, Ki Sheketzu, And then he says also Samos Nashus Sechem Mishchol Asheretz Haromei Salah Arts. Three different lavim for Sheretz Arts. Add that to the two general lavim for all Shratzim, and you have five different lavim, five different sets of malchus. And here we turn to Daf Chav Dalet Amud Beis. Then we have something called a Tzir'ah, which I think is in English called a hornet. And that's not only a crawling animal that crawls on the ground, but it also flies through the air. It's also a Sheretz Ha'of, Lokesh Shesh. You're going to get to five malchus for a Sheretz Ha'aretz, like the case in the Mola, and add to it the lav of Sheretz Ha'of. V'chol Sheretz Ha'of, Tomeyu Lachem Lo Sochlu, in Dvarim Perek Yudalet. Anyway, we see clearly from Abaye that when it comes to lavim in the Torah very often will add extra lavim, repeat the lav, such that you generate more than one set of malchus, multiple sets of malchus. Therefore, it's possible that the lav of lo ye'ochel in the case of Basar Kodesh Tomei is coming to add another lav in addition to the lav that we saw in the parasha of Maaser Sheni. And therefore, it's not redundant to derive Iser Hanah in general. Amolei, Sir Rav Ashi responds to Ravina that the rule is not that we assume that whenever the Torah adds another lav, it's coming lav or lav b'shnei lav, but rather, kol hechadika l'midrash darshina, whenever we have the opportunity to derive something from a pasuk, that's our first response. V'lo mokminin b'lav yiseri, and then only as a backup, as a last resort, then we'll assume the Torah is just adding an extra lav for an extra set of malchus. But if all things are equal, we're going to try to see what we can derive from the repetition. The Gemara now asks, with regard to that pasuk, in the parasha of Tuma, where the Torah says, lo ye'ochel, it says, v'abosar shayiga b'chol tomei lo ye'ochel, that's in Vayikra Perek Zayin Va'eshi Sarev. So the word v'abosar is extra. Now we're talking about posuk yutes. Then we'll get to posuk chaf. And the word v'abosar appears twice. And in both cases, it was superfluous. For example, Dereisha, the word Vahabos at the beginning of this pasuk that we just quoted, lovely, why do I need it? It's completely superfluous because the Torah could have just said, Asher Yiga Bechol Tomei Lo Yeyochel, and I would understand that we're talking about Bosa. And the Gemara answers, L'rabos Eitzim Ulavona. We have certain items that were brought on the Mizbeach that are not ochlim, they're not edible, and they don't have the status of basar. So we need an extra word to include them, and even though they're not edible, nevertheless they do and are susceptible to tumah. And those are eitzim and levona, eitzim that are burnt on the marocha, on the mizbeach, the logs for the fire, and levona is a kind of sense, an incense that they were makta on the mizbeach, together with other samamonim in the Ketores. They also brought it together with the Karba Mincha. And in all these cases, they are Makabel Tuma. So therefore, if you ask me, how do you justify the extra word Vabasar? I haven't answered that question. But what about the next Vabasar? In the next pasuk, it says, Vabasar kol tar yochal basar. And once again, this Abbasar de Seifati in the next Pasuk is superfluous, lovely. The Gemara answers, L'rabos Emurim, to teach us that those Evarim, those limbs and Chalovim, that have to be brought on the Mizbeach of various Karbonos, and they are burnt on the Maruch and the Eshal Gaga Mizbeach, if they contracted Tumah, then if a person who's Tar would eat them, he gets Malchus for eating them. And that's an Iser Malchus for Tumah. So the extra word, Ve'abosar, is going to teach me that even with regard to Imurim, you violate this Iser of Tumah. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? You want to tell me that we need this special word, Ve'abosar, to teach me Imurim, that if they contracted Tumah, you're not allowed to eat them? May Hussam Nafka, I have another drasha, the Sanya, And in the parasha of Achilas Kodshim, Betuma, the Torah says, "Va'nefesh asher tochal basar mizevach hashlamim asher l'ashem v'tumaso olav v'nichrus ha'nefesh ahime ameha." The words asher l'ashem are superfluous, and they're coming to teach me l'rabos es ha'imurim, that those parts of the carbon that have to be burnt l'ashem, for the sake of Hashem, which is called achilas mizbeach, but not achilas onam, you violate the Iser if you ate them bituma. So why do I need the Pasuk of Ve'habosar to teach me that with regard to the Emurim, there's an Iser of Achila bituma when the Torah says, Asher Lashem? So the Gemara answers, there are two categories and two cases of tuma. Hasam, when it says Asher Lashem, the Torah is talking about it, Tumas Haguf, that if you are Tome and you eat the Kodshim, you violate a chiv kares. But hacha, here in our pasuk of Abbasar, the Torah is talking about tumas basar, where the basar contracted tumah, the emurim themselves became tmeim. And if a person eats the emurim tmeim, he himself is tar, he violates a lav, but he doesn't get a chiv kares. Now the Gemara in Masechta Zvachim is going to derive a miut of kares with regard to another tar who eats basar kodshim v'tumah, if the kodshim are tmeim. And now, Rabbosai, we have completed the sugya of from whence do we derive isuri hanah, and now we're beginning the sugya of isuri hanah. Om Rabbi Avom, Rabbi Yochanan, kol isurin shabat Torah ein lokan aleihem elo kiderech achilosan. When a person violates an Isra Achila, he's got to do it in a normal way. Every Achila requires what's called a Tsuras Achila, a type of eating which qualifies by our standard normal rules of Achila. Lemute might to the exclusion of what? What did Rabbi Yochanan mean to exclude? Amar Rav Shimi Bar Ashi, Lemute Shem Ochal Chelev Chai Shupotu. Chelev, which are part of the fats that are osur in a very severe iser, it's even an iser kares. What happens if instead of cooking them, he eats them raw? That's not the normal way you would eat these chalovim. And therefore, if a person eats chelev chai, says Rabbi Yochanan, is potur. Why? Because it's shalo kederech achilosan. That's as far as the isuri achila are concerned. Now we have another iser with regard to isuri hanah. Ika Diamri, we have a second tradition of what Rabbi Yochanan was teaching us. Rabbi Yochanan, Isurim Shabbat Torah. Now we're talking about Isuri Hanah. Ein Lokan Aleim Ela Kederech Hanah Asam. If you're benefiting from Isuri Hanah, like for example, Chometz BePesach or Shor HaNiskal, you have to benefit from it in a normal way. Lemute Mai. So you're telling me that if I benefit from Isuri Hanah in an abnormal way, I don't get Malkus. How do you know such a thing? And perhaps we're going to derive it from the first halach of Isuri Achila. But the Gemara now addresses a different question. What's Shalok Derech Hanah Asam? I mean, after all, any benefit that I get, I got the benefit. And the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Shimi Bar Ashi, the chelev, in this case of a shor niska, which is also vanah, is normally eaten after you cook it. But here he took it for therapeutic purposes. He has a wound, and he uses it as some sort of antiseptic to put on his wound. So he takes chelev of shor niska, and he benefits from it, but in an unusual way, as refuah. And then the Gemara adds the following comment. V'cholshkein ochel chelev chai shupot. How much more so in the case of someone who eats raw chelev? For sure he's potter in that case. That's surely shalokedar. Meaning, if you want to tell me that there's a ptur called shalokedarko, then I understand that very well in the lesser chidush case of achila, because achila is a category. It's a pa'ula, it's an action that the Torah defines. And therefore the Torah defines achila in a certain way. You have to eat it the normal way. If I'm going to tell you that even with regard to Hana, where there is no Tzuras Hana, so to speak, Hana is a very broad category. Everybody benefits from an object in a different way. There are many different uses and benefits that you can enjoy from an object. If you're telling me that even with regard to Yisuri Hana, which is so broad and all-inclusive, nevertheless, you have to do it the normal way, otherwise you're parted from Malchus, how much more so in the case of Achila, where the Torah has many different restrictions and regulations as to what constitutes an Achila, how much more so are you going to be parted for Shalom Kederech Achilos? And so if he ate Chel of Chai, which is an Achila of Shalom Kederech, for sure he's going to be parted. And the Ikad Yavri wants to go a step further and tell me that even if he benefited from Isuri Ano, in this case Shar Niskal, by putting it therapeutically on his maka, even that Shalom Kederech is going to pater him. And how much more so in the case of Chelev Chai. Now, what is the normal Hana that you would get from Chelev? So we said that. Again, we're talking about Chelev Shar Niska, which is also Hana. So we said that the abnormal Hana of Chelev Shar Niska is Refuah, Al Makaso. What would be the normal way that you would use and benefit from this Chelev? Number one, Achila. Cook it and eat it. Number two, Havara. It could be used as a fuel. And number three, Meshichas Oros. Very often we take shemen from chelev and we use it as an oily substance in the tanning process to take a hide and soften it up. Itmar Nami, the Gemara now quotes another Amora that supports Rabbi Yochanan's principle. Omar of Acha bar Avi, Omar of Asi, Omar of Yochanan. Again, a tradition that it goes all the way back to Rabbi Yochanan. He niyach chelev shel shor niskal gavi makoso potul fi shekol yisur shabbat Torah ein lokin alem el derech hanaosam. So we have two traditions, both quoting Rabbi Yochanan in the identical way. Omar Rabbi Zera, afana nami tnina. I have this in a Mishnah in Trumos to support Rabbi Yochanan. And the Mishnah formulates the following principle: Ein sofkin es arboim, you don't get malchus in the case of orla, mishum orla, ela al hayotze min azesim umin anovim bilvad ve'ilu mitusim teinim v'rimonim lo. If he takes a fruit of orla, fruit that grew on the tree during the first 3 years, which are asubad no. And he extracts the juice, he crushes the pre itself, the pulp of the fruit. And here we have a distinction between Zaysim Vanovim on the one hand and all other mashkim, all other peros on the other hand. With regard to the olives and the grapes, we extract oil from the olives and yayin and wine from the grapes. Those have the same status as Arla. And if you drink, instead of eating the olive, you drink its shemen, or instead of eating the grape, you drink its wine, and its orla, then you get malchus. Why? Because that's the normal way. It's absolutely accepted, common practice, that you take zeisim, you crush them, you remove the oil. You take grapes, and you remove the liquid from the grapes, and it becomes wine. But other fruits, that's very unusual to drink it as a liquid, as a beverage, as a juice. Normally, you would take tusim, teinim, v'rimonim fruits and eat them whole, in their full natural state. And now you're drinking the juice of these various fruits. I'm not sure. Again, the Gemara is going to change its mind, but in this Havamina, I'm not sure exactly why the Gemara thinks that drinking the juices of berries and of pomegranates is considered shalokederech hana'osam. I remember I'm just reminiscing about a trip I took with my wife to Cape Town, and in the area there, Seapoint, they have this store there which has a heksher of, they take strawberries and other different types of berries and they make juice out of it. I remember, you know, it was very good for us to find that kosher. I mean, there was Checkers also, but in any event. And Rimonim, I know I can open up my fridge now and I can show you that we have Rimonim juice in the fridge. But in any event, the Gemara assumes, apparently, that's the way it was back in the day, that we don't usually take these berries and these pomegranates and these dates and figs and convert them into juices, fig juice. And therefore, the Mishnah says in Arla, in the 11th parak of Masechta Trumas, but regarding Arla, that you don't get malchus for eating, or I should say drinking, the juices of these fruits. And the only exceptions are grapes and olives. My time of the Gemara says it must be lav, isn't it? Because mishum dekachalu derech shelo kederech hanasa, lo kachalei derech hanasa. This is not the normal way that you enjoy the fruits. Usually you eat the fruits in their natural state. You don't squeeze them out for their juices and drink the juices. But we see that you're not chayav mishum arla unless you have an achila or a hana kidarkon, and that supports Rabbi Yochanan. Amalei Abai, so Abai says to Rabbi Zera, I think you're missing the point here. Bishleima iashmin and pri gufa de lo kachalei derech hanosin shapir. If you had found in the Mishnah that you ate the fruit in an unusual way, shalok derech achilasan, for example, let's say he took peaches, which are normally eaten raw, and he cooked them, so he eats now cooked peaches, or egozin, let's say he takes walnuts, and he cooks walnuts, and he eats the walnuts cooked. I have no clue what cooked walnuts taste like, but I don't think it's as good as eating the original nut. So that would be certainly a case where, if you had proven to me from the Mishnah that you don't get malchus for eating cooked walnuts or cooked peaches, I would understand that your reason why you're not chayv malchus is because that's not the derech, that's not the normal way you do it. But hach, when you extract the juices of tusim v'rimonim and te'enim, that's a whole different story. Hach, mishum dezeh bi'alma, you're not eating the fruit. It's not that your achila is a different kind of an achila. That's not the normal way you would benefit from it. Let me even grant you that people enjoy strawberry juice, which is, as I said, I had the pleasure of enjoying. But it's something called zeh bi'alma. In other words, the pri is the pulp of the pri, halachically. The juice is zeh bi'alma, literally sweat. You know, it's just a liquid inside the pri, but it's not the pri. So the p'tur here of malchus in this Mishnah, with regard to Arla, is not shalok derech achilasan, or shalok derech hanaasam, but rather zeh bi'alma, that you're not eating the fruit at all. This is not what the Torah prohibited. And now we talk about Kloy HaKerem, with this we'll end for today. Omar Abaye, HaKol Modu B'Kloy HaKerem, shalok in Aleim Afilu, shalok derech hanaasam. So here's an interesting quiz question. Is there any achila and hanah that you could be chayav for, even if you do it in an unusual way? The answer is Klai HaKerem. And why is Klai HaKerem, says Abai, the exception to the rule? My time of Yishun Deloksiv Bu Achila. The Torah in Parshas Ki Tetze, when it prohibits Klai HaKerem, even in hanah, the Torah doesn't say, thou shalt not eat them. It says, Lo Tizra Karmacha Kilayim Pen Tigdash Hamalea Hazera Shatizra Tvoasa. The main word here is the word tigdash, and tigdash is what's called an otrik, and we take it apart into two words, tukad esh, which means that you're not allowed to have any benefit from kilayim, you have to burn kilayim, and that means that if you planted zroim next to a vine, the product has to be burnt. It's osur banor, but it doesn't say thou shalt not eat kilaya kerem. It says pen. What does it say? Pentikdash Hamalea. That's all it says. So in the absence of a lashon of achila, we don't know that the Torah is defining a certain specific tzura. You have to do it in this way, which is the normal way. But rather, the Torah is giving you an all-inclusive prohibition of achila and ana, whether it's kedako or shelo kedako. And therefore, since we have an equation between hana and achila, we're going to say that all the dinim of hana apply to achila. So just like in ana, any ana is included in this iser with regard to kalaya kerem, so to any achila would be considered an achila, whether you cook it or you squeeze out its juices, etc., all that we discussed before. Meisve, the Gemara quotes a brisa to ask a kash on Abaye, isi ben Yehuda omer minayin lebosu b'chol shu osur shenemar ki am kadosh ata lashem elokech losu v'ashel gdi b'chalev imo v'nemar lahalon. With regard to the isur treifa, the Torah says v'anshei kodesh tiyun li u'basar v'asadeh treifa lo sochelu. We have a gzeirah shava between basu b'chol and treifa, because in both cases the Torah used the word kadosh. Is ma, just like in the case of treifa lahalon, osur, it's osur b'achila. Afkan, so too here in basu b'cholav, osur b'achila. Ein li ela b'achila. I could understand that we could derive achila, but hanor minayin, how do you know that it's osur b'anor? Amarta, kal v'chomer, ma orla shano nevda ba'vera, asur b'anor, basu b'cholav shano nevda ba'vera, and din she'e osur b'anor. The Torah says that orla is osur b'anor, and orla is just the tree that I planted and it grew naturally. I didn't do any avera in creating orla, and yet the Torah prohibits it in hanah. How much more so basu b'cholav, where he took meat and milk and he cooked it together and he violated the isur los avashel gediba chalivimo? How much more so if orla is osur b'anor? Certainly basu b'cholav should be osur b'hanah. And now on daf chaf hey, which Mishnah Shev will see tomorrow, the Gemara is going to try to undermine this kal v'chomer from Orla with a pircha. Now let's just point out that bas b'cholav is also b'chila b'anah, even if it lo nasta b'aver. For example, let's say it was cooked by a guy, or let's say basar fell off a high point into a keder of cholav, and it was cooked. But the Gemara doesn't mean to say that it was nasta b'aver befall in actuality, but just a mice of bishul or bas b'cholav is something that the Torah objects to, that it's repulsive in the eyes of God, and therefore it's Nesar Yisrael. Basu b'chol, in that sense, is not similar to Orla, which is a creation of God, so to speak. It's not Metuav in the creation of Orla. There was no Vera that brought about Orla under any circumstances whatsoever. Now, there are Rishonim who hold that you don't get Malkus on Hanah v'Yisrei Hanah. And it would seem from the Gemara here that you do get Malkus for Hanah from Klaya Kerem. And some want to explain that the reason why you don't get Malkus on Isuri Hanah is because Ein Derech Li'ochlam, that Derech Li'ochlam V'lo Le'anos Mi'anav, that the prime and most normal benefit and maximum benefit you get from Hanah is Achila. Hanah is always considered by definition Shelo Kedaka, therefore you don't get Malkus. But in the case of Klaya Kerem, that the Torah says Yechayev even for an achila shalo kedarka, because as the Gemara explained, this doesn't say achila. Therefore, even with regard to Hanah, you're going to get Malkus, Yechayev Malkus, and again, even if it's shalo kedarka. Now, the Mishnah Melech is of the opinion you don't get Malkus on Isuri Hanah because Isuram Einam Mefurish B'Torah, since we derive the Isur Hanah from a ribui, but it's not explicit in the Torah, therefore you don't get Malkus. That's only in Isuri Hanah that are derived from a pasuk of Lo Se'ocha. But in Klaya Kerem, with Isuri Hanah, no less than Isuri Achila is explicit because the Torah says Pentuktash, etc. Therefore you get Malkus on Hanah from Klaya Kerem. Now getting back for a moment to Zesim V'Anovim and Yotzim Ahen. The Gemara in Chulin has a special drasha from an extra pasuk of the Parsha Bikurim that Mashkim Ayotzim Mipri Bikurim Dinam Kipri Atzmo, which is derived from Truma, and there we're dealing only with exclusively Yayin and Shemen, and then we derive from Orla and Gzeir Shav from Bikurim. You derive Orla with Gzeir Shav Bikurim. There is a Machlokas Rishonim. According to some Rishonim from the Pasuk, we derive that Shemen and Yain are Chashuvim Pri. It's not called Zeir B'Alma. And that seems to be the Shita of the Rosh and the Bali Atos. There are others who seem to be of the opinion that Yain V'Shemen is not called Pri. It's really Zeisa Zeya B'Alma, like any mashke that comes from any pears. But it's Gzeres HaKosuv that the din of the mashke mina yotze mina anovim mina zeisim is kipri. It has the status of a pri in many different ways. That's the shita of Rabbi Lazar Mimetz. Now, you don't get malchus for drinking, as we said before, pomegranate juice or strawberry juice, but you're not allowed to drink these juices when they come from Orla. And that's indicated by the Rambam in Perek Yud, Mehilchus Macholos Asuras. Okay then, so we're going to stop here, and in Mirz Shem tomorrow, the daf will be Chaf Hei. We'll pick it up on the top of Chaf Hei Amid Aleph, and the Gemara is going to try to reject the Kal V'Chomer from Orla to Basa B'Chol.